traveled here. Don't have to hang around and wait. All those in favor? You know, I do think there was, wasn't there some irony in the fact that Fish and Game had requested that that check dam be put in?
Yes.
And then here it's being removed.
Yeah, quick comment on that, if you've got a second. That was something that Jim did for an activity some 10-some-odd years ago. I had to pay for the permits and the CDG and everybody to come out and put the thing in. And then the representative came back and said, we don't do this anymore. You got to pull this out of here.
Yeah.
So I had to go back to pay for all the permits. Interesting situation.
And it's still good morning, Chairman Young, members
okay.
of the board. Roger, Michael, again, Howard Kolb with the second of two items. This is the conditional waiver of waste discharge requirements for the Vietnam Timber Harvest Plan. This plan is in the same watershed and is close by the Big Basin proposed plan and is also a Big Creek lumber plan. It's a much smaller plan, 44 acres. In the total plan area with 26 acres proposed for harvesting, 7 Class 3 streams, and within the Boulder Creek watershed. Note, there are no Class 1 water bodies in the harvest area, although Boulder Creek is adjacent and it's about 300 feet off the plan. Again, going quickly through, you can see that it has a cumulative effects ratio of 21, and I want to note this is a little bit higher than what you saw for Big Basin. That's because we included the entire Big Basin planning area when we calculated this, and when we calculated the Big Basin, we only used the actual acres for harvest. Again, here's the it's in the San Lorenzo River watershed, so it's in a water body that's on the 303D list as impaired for sediment load, so it has a high. It also had a high before because it was over 15. Notice the drainage density is 84. It's relatively low. It has some class 2s that drain above the property, but the soils in this particular parcel, by the time it gets into their parcel, the water's gone subsurface, and so there are some class 3s during high events. You can see it has a low soil disturbance factor, even with the winter operations. And under our eligibility criteria, it would end up in Tier 2. And you can see it has a high cumulative effects ratio, low drainage density, low impact, Tier 2. It would qualify under our general conditional waiver and would use the general conditional monitoring and reporting program. And since there's no Class 1 or Class 2s, they would not be required to have water quality monitoring, just the implementation and effectiveness and the forensic.
A clarification, Howard.
Yes, sir.
You have operations are in a 303D listed watershed.
Yes.
Remind me, for the last one, that the 303 aspect bumped them automatically into
No, they were already up in Tier 4 because it's an individual waiver for the purposes.
But didn't you also mention that being in 303 also bumped them into Tier 4, or was it to have...
It just maintained them.
Ah, okay. So...
Yeah.
Because I thought the distinction was having being in a watershed that was 303D listed versus having having actual 1, 2, or 3 streams in the harvest plan area that were 303D listed.
Yeah, you are correct. No, I was just pointing out that there were no Class 1 or Class 2 within this particular plan.
Okay. Now, if you had Class 1 or 2 303D listed in this plan, would that, under your matrix, bump you into Tier 4?
No. What it does is it bumps you into the high of the cumulative effects ratio. It doesn't bump you into Tier 4. It puts you in the high cumulative effects ratio. And they're already there by virtue of being in a watershed that has over 15% of the watershed harvested. So it doesn't immediately... If you are in a 303D watershed, you do not go here. You go here.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks.
And then in their particular case, they have a low drainage density with a very low level of disturbance, which puts them all the way back into Tier 2. for this particular plan, the specific monitoring is the visual observation, and then there is one photo point. There's a, and this is very curious because they're actually proposing a new road alignment because the old road alignment was somewhat problematic, and they should actually get credit for that if we use your scenario, Dr. Press. But they actually get dinged for it because they're putting in new road, and new road gets more points than existing road. So that's something I've been thinking about as well.
What happens to the old road?
They put that road to bed, and they'll slash pack it, they'll slope it out so that it's no longer a problem for them. And we will photo monitor that. That's the photo monitoring point.
What you're saying is they're doing that because the old road was
is
more dangerous.
Yeah, it's problematic.
It
takes a lot of maintenance.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And now I have more changes, but again, there are some editorial changes, the WILPES to the water course and water course to WILPES, page 5, item D1. We'd also like to remove the general language, the rhetoric or the example language to streamline this monitoring and reporting program as well. And staff recommends that we adopt this individual THP and requirements and monitoring program.
Okay. I have three speaker cards. Thank you, Howard. Nadia Hamey, and then Mr. Otten and Mr. Berlage.
Hi. Nadia Hamey again. I am also the registered professional forester for the Vietnam Timber Harvest Plan, and I've spent a good deal of time out there through all months of the year, mostly, you know, looking at the drainage structures and how to improve them. And maybe if I could enlighten you just a little bit about the mitigation point two that will be the photo point. It's just a short segment of road that is a little bit oversteepened and difficult to get a water bar on to drain it. So there will be less than 100 feet of new road construction that will be able to be outsloped and also have a rolling dip, and that section will be rocked.
Do we have any photographs of that?
I didn't bring any.
I don't have any today, but I will in July.
Okay.
I won't belabor this individual waiver request. I urge you to approve the individual waiver, and I think that the visual monitoring is the most effective way to get water quality protection out here. And so if you have any questions, I'd like to answer those.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Otten. And Mr. Berlage?
Yes.
Okay.
Just one thing regarding the prior comment on findings. In the staff report, the section under discussion would all constitute adequate findings to support the waiver. So if the board wants to adopt that section as its findings, that would be appropriate.
Which paragraph, Lori?
The discussion section in the staff
section.
Report? Yeah, everything
okay.
Up to the CEQA discussion, which is already in the waiver.
Okay. All right.
And, Lori, was your recommendation to go ahead and include that in the resolution?
Yeah, the motion could be to adopt the staff report or adopt this staff recommendation and adopt that section of the staff report as the board's findings.
Also move.
Okay.
I'll second that.
We're going to want to just include that in the recommendation. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll vote on that. Are we ready to?
Yeah, I think we're ready.
Okay.
I'm hungry.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
By the way, Howard, I think this one was done very well, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We will convene for lunch break and be back. Mr. Briggs, what time?
Hour and 20, would that be?
Hour and 20 minutes.
Too much?
R20?
And okay. Do we have closed session we're going into? So we are.
Not unless you want to talk about.